Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer Radio Show, brought to you by Tractor Supply, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, and national spokesperson for the USDA Biosecurity for Birds program. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Tuesday, January 8th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Tractor Supply.
Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com. Introducing the Chicken Fountain, a new way to water your flock. The Chicken Fountain will change your life and keep your chickens healthier by providing clean, fresh water every time. No more daily cleaning of dirty chicken waterers. This semi-sealed system keeps every drop of water fresh and clean. Proudly made in the USA, the Chicken Fountain will provide your flock with fresh, clean water for years to come. To order your Chicken Fountain, visit chickenfountain.com. That's chickenfountain.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty. Thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. We are, well, our life story, we are on the road again, but I wanted to make sure we got this first radio show of 2013 on the road and rolling today. We got a great show. We've got Jeanette Behringer with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. She'll be joining us in about 10 minutes, and we've got a great, great topic today. The importance of choosing good breeders is going to be part of the topic today with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, a great group over there. And so we'll be looking forward to that. We will have to wrap up the show about 12:50, so a little bit shorter show today. That's where we're going to bring her on a little bit earlier, bring her on about 12:15 so she can cover this great topic and breeding, preparing and really breeding for the spring. So a great relevant topic for the coming season, and that'll be today's show. Thank you very much for all the get well wishes. We've been on the road for about 3 weeks. We left, I believe it was on the 21st of December, and the family headed up to see my dad up in the northeast Georgia mountain. Yeah, even before that, I guess. We went up to Nashville. I think we've had a show since then, but we around the 17th, the family packed up and we headed up to Nashville, Tennessee to had meetings all day. I think it was Tuesday the 18th with Tractor Supply. Those went very, very well. A lot of great plans for 2013, including the continuing the Power to the Poultry tour. Which we'll be doing all across the country this year. We're looking forward to that. And then after that, I guess about the 20th, 21st, we went to visit my dad for Christmas. Spent about 4 days up there in the northeast Georgia mountains. And then we came back to the homestead for one day. And then we packed up and we headed down to Savannah, Georgia, to visit with Jen's family for Christmas. We were there a few days. Then we head down to Florida to visit more family and try to take a little vacation before we started 2013. We went to Tomoka State Park. It was a beautiful state park right on the Intercoastal Waterway. It was wonderful. And kind of broke in the new Chicken Whisperer Mobile, the Coachman travel trailer that we got over the holidays, so we can really make the rounds across the country and spread the chicken love. So we got that done. Finally got back. Sometime that few days before Christmas, we all came down, myself, Jen, and Caleb, unfortunately, with the worst cold we said we had had in many, many years. It may have been the flu. We had chills and fever and all that kind of stuff. But we toughed it out and got through that. Still have a lingering cough from that. But we thought we were over all of that. It was great. We had a good time while we were at the state park. Got home. No problems. You can hear my co-host here, Caleb. He's joining us today as well. It is a family affair. And so we got home Saturday, this past Saturday night. No problems. Fixed a great supper. And then about 4 o'clock the next morning, early Sunday morning, Jen was up. And she didn't know what she had at first, but then it turned into the stomach bug about an hour and a half later. I started having all those horrible symptoms with a stomach flu. And they lasted all day Sunday. It was horrible. We felt like death warmed over 6 times. So nonetheless, it went as fast as it came. And I guess it was about Sunday night late before we went to bed. We were able to keep some things down and we're still recuperating. So still eating light and very mild things as of right now. But we are on the road to recovery, and we're really, really looking forward to 2013. There's going to be a lot going on here in the next 2 weeks. I've already scheduled the video producers to come out. We're going to be doing 8 more videos for Tractor Supply. We hope to have those up by mid-February when their Chick Days event start. Those will be on their website, tractorsupply.com. Along with 5 other videos we did a couple of years ago for them. So we're definitely looking forward to that. And then we're also continuing the tour. Not just our regular tour, but we are going to have a touring with Tractor Supply. In fact, right now it is tentative, but it's about as in stone as you can get. we're looking at starting our first Tractor Supply portion of the tour in mid-February. We're going to be touring L.A. You didn't know L.A.? That's Lower Alabama. So we're going to be touring L.A., Lower Alabama, and also that kind of panhandle over there of Florida. They've opened a lot of new stores in Lower Alabama, South Alabama, and then also North Florida area. So it'll be their first Chick Days event. So they're going to utilize the Chicken Whisperer and the Big Chicken Whisperer event for those Tractor Supplies that have opened up in the last, say, anywhere from 30 days to 90 days, because this will be their first Chick Days events this year, because it's a brand new store. So we're going to try to incorporate the our Chick Days events and our Chicken Whisperer event with them. So that looks like it's going to take place around the 13th of February through. Yep, we'll be celebrating Valentine's Day on the road, but we always travel as a family, so it's not a big deal. And it's a family affair, family show. And so that'll be the – I don't know have the actual dates or locations. I know it's going to start around the 13th of February and be about a 5 to 7 day tour, Lower Alabama and that panhandle part of Florida over there. And I have Panama City and West. I guess it's Pensacola over in that area. And so we're looking forward to that. That'll be a week there kind of in mid-February. So I'll post all the locations of Tractor Supplies we'll be doing, broadcasting the radio show live on location, doing a two-hour workshop, book signing, pictures, autographs, things like that. Really looking forward to that. Spreading the chicken love across America with the Power to the Poultry Tour. So definitely looking forward to that in 2013 with, of course, Tractor Supply Company. So gotta love it. Also, got some great topics and great shows coming up this year. Obviously, we're so proud and happy to continue every Monday with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Tuesdays are going to kind of be a mixed bag. Wednesday, we still have Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Wrong. So anyway, Jen's driving. I think this is the first time of her actually driving over here to the doctor. Oh, that while we're on the road, heading over here, we've got an ultrasound, I think, appointment at 1, and then at 2, a regular doctor's appointment with her OB-GYN here. So that's where we're headed right now. And couldn't change those appointments because they're back-to-back, and ultrasound appointments were kind of limited. So nonetheless, broadcasting on the road again. Thank goodness we have good connectivity today. So Peter Brown every Mondays, Tuesdays is a mixed bag. We've got Wednesdays, Garden Wise Living with Arlena. Very proud to continue her in 2013. Thursdays, we've got some terrific shows. Back Home Magazine with Richard Frudenberger continuing on Thursdays. Also, Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD, continuing on Thursdays. In fact, we're going to be giving away some subscriptions to Back Home Magazine throughout the year. So I'm really excited about that because it is a great publication. You love it when Richard's on and all his great topics about sustainable living. So you're going to love his publication as well. So we decided to give away a few subscriptions to that throughout the year. So that's going to be awesome. We're really looking forward to that. And, of course, our famous Fun Fridays. We're going to be continuing our Fun Fridays throughout the year, giving away tons of awesome and cool prizes from our sponsors to you, our wonderful listeners. So we got Fun Fridays. We'll continue throughout the year. And, of course, as of today, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. What a great, great organization. They do very, very good work all across the world. And we're going to have to continue them to come on the second Tuesday of every month, like as of today. The American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. Gotta love it. So hope you all had a wonderful Christmas and holiday season and a happy new year. Hope you have great plans this year with family and friends. I know that I do, and I hope it'll be a good year for you. We're entering actually our fifth year of broadcasting this radio, thanks to you, our listeners. There would be no reason for me to have the show if nobody listens. So we've got thousands and thousands of listeners, both the live show and the archive show. It increases every single year. We've been number one on iTunes before, which is fabulous. We're still ranked very high there. We're still always ranked in the top 25 at Blog Talk Radio, and that's over millions of shows. And thanks to our listeners, and, of course, thanks to our sponsors that sponsor the show because of you, our listeners. So we're really looking – yep, 5 years. Can you believe it, Polish in the chat room? We're entering our fifth year of broadcasting. We started out on a little AM station in Atlanta for about 6 months, and then we found that online was the way to go because we could really increase our listenership nationwide, not just in the Atlanta metro area. And so we went over from AM radio in Atlanta to national, of course, web. We even have listeners all over the world. We've got haven't seen, of course, it's our first show of the year, but Andreas from Norway that listens quite a bit. So, yep, our fifth year of broadcasting. I can't believe it. And it has been a wonderful, wonderful road for me and my family. And, oh, one more thing we're going to do on the road. I'm going to try to, when we go on a road, when we have a trip, I'm going to kind of put down our route. And what I'm going to do is see if anybody lives along that route, any fans, listeners of the show, longtime fans, friends. And if you do, we're going to see if we can't stop by and say hello. We're going to try to video some of this and post up on YouTube, have our own Chicken Whisperer YouTube channel. We'll also continue some how-to videos and video the tour that we go on. But we may actually try to stop, if we can, one stop maybe per road trip. Between Tractor Supplies, between the feed and seed stores where we're at, between events, and stop at a fan's house, take a look at their coop, and say hello, maybe have some supper with them, go out maybe. Last time we did this, they cooked us a wonderful, wonderful meal on the road. It was great. Becca Boo down in Florida and her friend, and it was just absolutely an awesome time. So we really want to continue that because we love getting out and meeting our friends and fans. So we'll continue that in 2013 as well. So look out for those dates. Also in April, we'll be back in Alabama, back-to-back weekends. Alabama is really hot for backyard poultry right now. We will be at the Alabama Chicken and Egg Festival again this year. We've been invited back. I believe that is the 13th and 14th of April, and then the very next weekend, the 20th of April, we'll be in Mobile, Alabama, for a huge group, the Garden Club, Mobile Garden Club, I think it is, Garden Club / Book Club. They booked the event with me Saturday the 20th. I believe there'll be a charge for that. It is open to the public. I think it's $28 per person. It includes a box lunch, and it's actually a pretty long event. I think it goes from like 10 to 3 with a box lunch break midday. It'll be a book signing and, of course, the Getting Started with Backyard Poultry. So we've got all that going on. Oh, hang on. Yeah, feel free to spread. So just going to... We're at the doctor's office now. There's a great little mom-and-pop restaurant next door, locally owned, called Grandma's Kitchen, and she's going to go over there and get a little bite to eat before an appointment and feed Caleb, and then she'll bring me back maybe a Sprite. That may be about all I can handle right now for lunch after this weekend of what we had, so gotta love it. Let's see. Poet's wife, got to see her and her great family, and let me get my brain working here, and the... most special object in the world or something like that. I forget exactly what she calls her daughter, the most precious object, I think. So it was a great time, and saw some great folks from Nashville, made a lot of friends up there when we were fighting for backyard poultry, had a great time while we were up there, so it was good to see a poet's wife in the chat room, had a really good time there. Alrighty, it is now time for our special guest segment today with American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. So let's just go ahead and get started with that, our special guest segment.
Today's special guest segment is brought to you by NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina. NatureWise Natural Poultry Feeds by Nutrina are the natural choice for nutritionally balanced feed for your flock and contain only fresh, wholesome ingredients. Learn more at NutrinaNatureWise.com. That's NutrinaNatureWise.com.
All righty. It is, of course, the one, the only, Jeanette Behringer with the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy joining us live today. Hey, Jeanette.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for joining us today. Happy New Year. It's 2013. Yeah. I can't believe it's 2013 already, but we made it through the holiday. I hope you did, too, and had a great one with friends and family.
Yeah, I did. I left the holiday season with a few more gray hairs with my 17-year-old daughter learning to drive, so I spent quite a bit of time driving around with her, and I moved to touch and go a couple of times, but we're getting there.
Hey, let me ask you this. I know on my end, you're breaking up real bad. I'm not sure if you're on a speakerphone, but it's definitely not working today. And I just asked in the chat room, and they said you're breaking up a lot. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone, if we can either talk closer so there's not a delay, or not be on a speakerphone, or I can try to have you call back in. Again, it may be on our end, on the line you called in on.
How is this? Is this better?
That is 100% better. Yeah, normally I know you're on a speakerphone, and it's not bad. But for some reason today I noticed it, and then I put in the chat room to make sure it wasn't just on my end, breaking up, and they said, yes, she was breaking up. Now they're saying much, much better. That is perfect because we want to hear everything. If you'll go ahead and repeat what you just said, because I didn't really get any of that, something about your daughter.
Oh, I said I left the holiday season with a few more gray hairs as my 17-year-old daughter is learning to drive. And so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I had to use up a bunch of vacations, so we spent quite a bit of time just driving around. And, you know, it was touch and go a couple of times, especially parking's an issue. And she likes to whip into the spaces and cut it tight. And, of course, that's not flying well with me, but she's learning.
We've all been there.
Oh, yeah. I knew it was coming. It's just hard to face the facts that she's going to be 18 and heading to college. And I wish she was more interested.
I have to say this, that, you know, you've been on the show for a couple of years now, and we met at the annual conference, and I just have to say that there's I would have never guessed from meeting you that you would have an 18-year-old daughter.
You definitely don't look anywhere close
to having an 18-year-old daughter. So that's surprising right off the top.
It's that country living. The chickens keep me young.
My goodness. So we've got a great topic today. I'm so glad that ALBC is going to continue. We're going to continue. I've got some ideas in my head that I want to share with you. Later this week, I've been brainstorming about things as with other sponsors. And so I'll get with you a little bit later on that.
Sure.
To try to help, you know, boost memberships and spread the great work that y'all do with everybody, but specifically, I know when I talked to the president over there at the conference, Eric, about really getting the backyard chicken folks interested. We know, you know, the breeders understand, the show folks, but really getting the soccer moms that have 12 hens in the backyard for all those great reasons that they do to be interested in ALBC and how it can be important for them to be a partner and join in as well. So got some ideas with you regarding that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say that, you know, even the small, you know, backyard flock can contribute to the, you know, the overall good of a breed, even if you're, you know, breeding just a few. You know, breeding to APA standards and, you know, breeding the right animals goes a long way. And, you know, it's really nice when you walk out into your coop and, you know, every animal you're looking at is, you know, good. It's a really great feeling. And, you know, and even a small backyard flock can contribute to that. And that's why I kind of wanted to talk about this topic today because, you know, my husband and I, we were just going through our birds this weekend, and it was really hard to pick out birds because they're just all nice now, you know, and unless they have a defect or something, it's tough to make the calls. And you know, I have a senior rooster right now who's about three, and I'm finished using him, and he's just so nice. I hate to throw him in the stew pot, but, you know, I'm actually thinking of stuffing him, using him for education because he's such a good example of the breed. But, you know, his breeding days are over, and, you know, we've got to have the up-and-coming males take his place because, you know, we don't want to wreck the breeding program by using the same male all the time. And
again, and I use that term loosely, the soccer moms with 12 hens, so many of that you know, those you know, the backyard breeders in the urban areas and whatnot can support these heritage breeds that are on these lists, even if it's just, you know, doing a little bit of research, going to your website, looking at the best breeds for their area, whether it be winter or summer or hot, Florida or up in the Northeast, picking out breeds that they like, and then ordering, if they do,
ordering these heritage breeds from a breeder's list that you have on your website, even that alone, getting those 12 chickens, six chickens from the breeders that are breeding these heritage breeds can be very important. When you look at the thousands of people across the country who are doing this, that can really be a big factor.
Oh, sure. And actually buying directly from the breeders is a really great way to help further support the breeds because, you know, it's the small scale farmers that really need the support. And I know, you know, like the big hatcheries certainly are benefiting the breeds, but you know, the master breeders, the people that have been in it for years and have really dynamite birds, it's great to support them by buying from them directly if it's possible. I mean, it's not always possible, but you know, some of these folks have put a lifetime into their birds, and you know, you can get amazing quality from some of the folks that have been in it a long time. If you're just getting started and you're not quite sure what you want, and you want to, you know, try out a breed or two, and you know, the hatcheries are a great resource for that. But if you want to get serious about one breed, I'd do my research and, you know, look at the, you know, the APA yearbook is a great resource. You can go in there and see who's winning all the shows or who's been, you know, with the breeds for a long time. You know, it's a treasure trove of information in that you know, the annual book they put out. And, you know, on the ALBC website, we have our online breeders directory, so you can check and see who's raising, you know, the breeds you're interested in near you. And that's free. You can, you know, anybody can access that online. And, you know, and the SPPA puts out an annual book. That's another great resource for trying to find birds. And, you know, so between my APA book and my SPPA book and ALBC resources, I can typically find exactly what, you know, we have inquiries look for. You know, because some of the breeds can be really challenging because, you know, there just aren't a lot of people working with them. And I find that particularly true with, like, a lot of the Orientals. You know, there's not a lot of people raising them or, you know, because they're not the kind of bird you're going to keep in a big flock and everybody's going to get along. You know, they're originally developed to fight. And so, you know, they get a little bit cranky with each other. And so you know, they're marvelous, though. I mean, as far as people goes, a lot of those birds are great people birds. It's just they don't like each other. So a lot of folks are starting to call the office and make inquiries now that spring's around the corner. And for the listeners interested in getting into rare breeds, I strongly suggest you place your orders now because a lot of the breeds sell out fast in the hatcheries and
they
the
really
breeders
do.
Oh, yeah, and, you know, breeders start taking orders for birds, you know, last fall. And
yeah,
so,
yeah, November,
you know,
October.
Yeah, and I think we talked about it back then that, you know, you really need to put your orders in now, especially for, like, turkeys. Turkeys, you know, they sell out like crazy, and if you get the poult towards the end of the spring, then you're not going to have birds ready in time for the holidays, so you really have to think about timing. With chickens, it's not quite as urgent, you know, because they're not quite a seasonable product, but when you're looking at turkeys and geese, it's very much dependent upon the season if you want to have those holiday birds. You know, the turkeys, they take 28 weeks to grow out, and that's a long time. So, you know, you need to have your poults ready to go, you know, earlier in the spring rather than later in the spring. And,
true story. I guess it was about four years ago, and I know that a lot of the a lot of the major hatcheries were sending out and contacting their customers that have feed and seed stores that have bought from them year after year after year. They contacted them back in November and said, look, this year it was the beginning, you know, kind of right as the backyard movement was really, I mean, at its peak. So maybe it was 5 years ago. And they were saying, you know, you got to order now. This is not an advertising scam or a plea. I mean, this is, I'm telling you, if you don't order now and get your order in, we probably will not be able to fulfill it when you want all your chicks for that Easter weekend or that big spring weekend. And a lot of them thought that it was just this ploy to try to get people to order early. And then so they ignored it, and then once they went to order their for their Chick Days events and things like that, they were like, you know, sorry. You know, it's going to, we're, you know, 8 weeks behind, 12 weeks behind, even on just, you know, your standard breeds, Rhode Island Reds, Barred Rocks, things like that, let alone the more rare breeds that were out even before then. And they were like, what are you talking about? We've ordered from you for the last 20 years. And said, yep, and we sent you out a notice saying you need to order now to make sure we can fulfill it. And you thought, I guess, it was a ploy. So it's happened year after year where they try to get folks to order early. And that was the same year, it's very concerning, where a lot of the feed and seeds we talked to as well not only had a hard time getting chicks, but they had a hard time getting garden seeds. Gardening was taking off at that point, too. And where they would normally have, say, 10 or 12 varieties of, say, beans, they only had 3 or 4. And the varieties they got shipped in, that was it. There was no more reordering. And that was about 5 years ago. And it really kind of shocked me at that point, but it really kind of made me understand how this movement is growing. Nationwide.
Yeah, it's a clear indicator, and you know, and all you need to do to verify that is walk into a supermarket and see how much it costs to buy produce and meat these days.
Oh, gosh.
It's insane. So for anybody with a plot of land that can do it, you know, chickens and vegetables is a no-brainer. You know, it's easy, it's satisfying, and you know, I mean, you can save a ton of money. And you know, my husband and I are strategizing the seeds right now, you know, because he's the gardener and I'm more the animal person, and trying to figure out what we're going to put in the ground this year. And you know, it's better to order now. You know, and our feed store has been, you know, really pushing ordering the potatoes and things, because, you know, you got to order it now or you're not going to have it later. But
we'll be putting in potatoes and onions around the 15th, either right before we go on that TSC tour or right after. We got to get our potatoes and our onions in and get those in for February. So that's something
we're looking
at trying to pick at as well. Hey, back on topic, I know we got about 20 minutes left. This is a shorter show today due to our schedules, but the importance, of course, of breeding and breeding to the standard perfection, but also the importance, and I think this is important because I would say probably more people are purchasing versus maybe breeding. Of course, we have all aspects of listeners, but definitely the importance of choosing a good breeder that you want to talk about as well.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of folks just don't know what they're looking at as far as, you know, what's a good chicken versus a, you know, a crummy chicken. And sometimes, you know, the difference cannot be, you know, so obvious. And, you know, we always tell folks the start of the story is the head of the bird. And so, you know, if you have a number of birds to choose from, take a good look at their head. And you want, you know, the birds that are going to have the really nice broad head. And this can go across for just about any breed. You know, when you have a nice broad head, that means that quality is going to follow down the body. So if you've got a nice broad head, you're likely to have a nice broad heart girth, which means you've got more space for capacity for lungs and heart. You know, if you're having more capacity, that means you're going to be more productive. And typically it follows down the body, and then you're looking at the, you know, the hips and, you know, the backside of the bird, and typically that'll be nice and broad too. Not 100% of the time, but if you can't pick up the bird and mess around with it, you know, and you're just going by heads, you know, the likelihood is good that the rest of the body will follow, but that's not 100% of the time. That's why it's really important if you can, you know, get your hands on a bird, you know, and feel it, because there's a lot to be said under the feathers. Now, it's going to be hard choosing when you've just got, you know, itty-bitty chicks to choose from, but I'm talking about, like, adult birds, or at least birds that are at least 8 weeks old, because by around 8 weeks, those birds have fleshed out, or for most breeds, by 8 weeks, you can kind of tell how that bird's going to finish out. There's no way to tell when they're chicks. It's just too early. Anything can happen. But by around 8 weeks of age, and we learned that in the Buckeye Project, that you know, when we did the recovery for that breed, that just about every bird that we chose as good quality at 8 weeks were consistently still really good quality by the last assessment, which was done around 16 weeks. So that's where I can kind of pull that figure out. And so, you know, if you've got that, you know, broad heart girth and then the broad rear end, that means it's got more space for reproductive organs, and so more capacity and potential for laying eggs. And then, you know, if you go to our website and educational materials and go into the chicken section, all these concepts you can walk through, you know, on the materials there. But there's some other things that you can look at, and that's the pelvic arch and the distance between the keel and the pelvic arch. This is looking at capacity for egg laying, and it's kind of hard to describe over the phone, and probably your listeners would be best served to go on the website to see the pictures, and especially the naked chicken pictures, because it's easier to see what we're talking about with the dressed carcass than, you know, hands over the feathers. But, you know, these are things you can look at to decide what birds would be the best quality for you. And, of course, before you're going in and buying the birds, know your APA standard inside and out. You know, you really, if you're going to pay good money for a bird, you need to understand exactly what that bird is supposed to look at. Because, you know, what if you want to go to show and you suddenly realize they don't meet standard because the leg color's wrong or the beak color's wrong or the eye color's wrong, you know. It's very disappointing for newcomers to come in and, you know, there's something blaringly wrong with their birds and you know, they take them to show and it's like, well, you know, you need to know the standard. That's the chicken Bible, you know. And so, you know, other things to look for, like with the little chicks, you know, certainly I think you can take a look at the heads and, you know, look for vigor. You want a nice, vigorous chick that's, you know, not stooping in the corner or separated from everybody. You know, you might feel bad that, you know, oh, that bird needs attention. Well, that bird might have something wrong. You know, you want to look at their vents, make sure their vents aren't pasty or nasty looking. On their abdomens, you want to make sure that the yolk sac's been absorbed and that, you know, they don't have any kind of hernia, you know, on the abdomen. Toes, make sure their feet are nice and straight and toes are straight. A lot of little ones, if they've taken too long coming out of the shell, they're going to have crooked toes, so you don't want that. On their heads, the eyes will tell you a lot. You want the eyes to be nice and bright and not crusty, and, you know, you want to make sure that the birds aren't breathing heavy or open-mouth breathing. You know, they may do that if you pick them up and you're handling them because they're panicked. But, you know, if they're in the brooder just poking around, then they shouldn't be breathing heavy or anything like that. And one really, really important thing, you know, and I don't know how many times I've stressed it on the show, but getting birds from a flock that's been NPIP certified goes a long way for ensuring that the breeder, at the very least, is testing for a few diseases that could be passed on to a flock. And that's a simple testing mechanism done by the USDA, and it you know, the inspectors come in and they can inspect your birds for, you know, I think I paid the most $3. And, you know, they test for a number of salmonella-related diseases. They'll also test for avian influenza. And then they'll band the birds and you get a certification that your flock is free of those particular diseases. Mm-hmm. And anybody that's going to show birds, they need to have that certification. So, you know, it's very minimal step that anybody can do to at least, you know, be sure that their flocks are free of those diseases. You know, you could test for other things, but, you know, if a person's not willing to do at least the minimum, then, you know, maybe go to someone else for birds. But I think it's a responsible thing to do is, you know, NPIP and you know, when you go into source birds, you might want to ask, you know, well, where did the birds come from? And, you know, what's your history? How'd you get into them? And how are they doing for you? A lot of breeds, they look pretty, but maybe they have little anecdotal characteristics that might not necessarily lend itself well to where you live. You know, like a bird like a Langshan that's got a, leg feathering, that's not going to do really well in a wet climate, you know. Or, a heavy-bodied bird like a Brahma, they're not going to do very well in a hot climate. You know, they're going to do better in cooler places. And so when you're picking out the breeds, really think about it. Do the research and make sure that the breed's appropriate for your climate and landscape. You know, and there's so many, you know, breeds out there, and each one of them were created for pretty specific purposes. And so I think if you weigh everything together with, you know, your setup, your land, your climate, and personality of the birds, don't forget to ask about personality. Some of the birds are naturally high strung and they're not going to follow you around like a puppy dog and going to be self-sufficient. Or, you know, you've got other birds like, you know, our Buckeyes, they can't wait for me to walk out the door so they can see what I have in my hand. You know, they're very personable. You know, they don't care that there's a dog walking next to them. You know, they're just very, you know, laid back. And for a family with small children, you want a breed like that. Do a lot of homework before you decide which animals you're going to get, and then, you know, continue with that homework and make sure that you're choosing the healthiest, best representative of the breed you can get, and, you know, not just picking a chick out of the blue, you know. Watch them for a while in the brooder and see, you know, which ones are running around and which ones are just kind of sitting there sadly, you know.
And even though, and when we do when we go on the road and tell folks when we get to our segment of, you know, choosing the right breed for you, I tell them, you know, we've seen basically three ways people choose their breed. One, they'll do literally months of research. They cover everything from head to toe about all these breeds, and then they'll choose after just a boatload of research. Then you'll have the person that may choose their breeds because that's what grandma and grandpa had on their farm, and it brings back such memories, and so I'm going to continue that because it was great memories, and I'm going to have the same breeds grandma and grandpa had. And then, of course, you have the ones that not necessarily spur the moment. They've been thinking about getting them, they go in, say, to the Tractor Supply, and they see them there in the bin, and they're like, okay, we've been thinking about this. Let's just go ahead and get it done. And they haven't done specific breed research, and they'll have, say, their son or daughter look in the bin, and they'll pick them. You were talking about, oh, I like the black spot on that head. I want that one. Or that one looks very playful. I want that one. Or like you're saying, that you may be a warning sign. Oh, this one's all alone, and it needs a friend. I'm going to pick that one. And so those I think, are really the three major ways people choose their breeds. Now, regardless, I think, of how they choose them, once they've chosen the breeds they want, then that's a totally another aspect of how they're going to buy them or where they're going to buy them between choosing and then actually buying them. And so I think we need to make people aware that if they choose, say, go to the ALBC website, look at some of the breeds that may now are on their list. They can shop their breeds there, too, and try to choose their breeds. But then there's a whole other aspect of now getting the breeds that they've chosen what breeders they're going to use to do that. And I think it's important to let them know that that they may have to, you know, it's going to be more probably than, you know, $1.75 a chick. If you're going to a reputable breeder, they're using heritage breeds and things like that, versus, say, going to a major hatchery everybody's going to do it differently. So I'm just letting folks know that are going to go down this path that we're talking about today, say using the ALBC, pardon me, that, you know, it's, you talked about waiting until they're a little older when they're started birds, 8 to 16 weeks, so you can kind of see the quality of that bird as it becomes into adulthood. And then those birds are going to be more expensive to ship if you're going to have them shipped, but probably it's more recommended if you can find a breeder close to home to drive and actually get those birds versus having them shipped, because it's going to be more expensive. You may have sticker shock when you see how much it's going to cost to ship those started birds.
Oh, yeah.
Now chosen. But if you can get in the car and get started that way, then that's probably a better way to drive to the breeder, and you can meet them and do it that way. So I just want to make sure that people know that a lot of us are caught up into the big hatcheries, again, that sponsor the show, and they meet a lot of need for a lot of folks across the country where, hey, you can get these breeds for, oh, it's a special 85 cents a bird for day-old chicks or bantams or what have you. Where if you're going to the ALBC website, looking at their list of approved breeders, getting started birds, they've already got 16 weeks of care and feed in them, and you're getting these from that great line of birds, that they're not going to be $1.75, and if you have them shipped, it's going to be much higher because they're started birds and bigger. But better yet, if you can go and drive and pick them up, that's going to be the best solution. So I wanted to share that with our listeners, too, that may not know that kind of two different steps there, choosing the right breed for you. And then once you've chosen the breed, where then are you going to enact that decision and actually purchase them?
Yeah, or, you know, if you, you know, you can't get the breed that you want and you have no choice but to ship, then maybe order more birds than you need, and then, you know, once the birds are old enough, you know, make some educated decisions on what to select for, and then, you know, the rest can go in the freezer, or, you know, I wouldn't think that most people have the ability to find good homes for all their extra chickens. You know, it's kind of hard to assume that you're going to find
the
that
cockles, the roosters.
Yeah, and as my friend Don Schreider said, they're chickens. You can eat them, you know, because it's a hard choice sometimes. But that is a reality with keeping chickens if you're wanting to breed and have a quality flock. You know, not every bird's meant to be a breeder, and so you have to be committed to that. Otherwise, you know. There is nothing wrong with having, you know, a Martha Stewart flock and have a mix match of a whole bunch of things, and so long as you know, that's what you've got, and the offspring aren't going to be worth much as mixes, but, you know, that can be perfectly fine if you want an egg flock and you don't want to eat your birds. There are a lot of folks that are perfectly happy doing that, and
you
our
might,
local...
And people might want to. I mean, I'm very open with what we do. And when we are setting up a new flock this year with TSC, and I'm going to be videotaping that and ordering them and things. And we're going to do kind of half and half. We're going to go down the ALBC route. And for our 20 meat birds, we are going to go down the heritage road and heritage breed. For our layers, on the other hand, we're doing totally different and going with basically a sex link. I've met the developer at the International Poultry Expo, which was one of my most awesome moments. And he was from, I think he was either from Norway, Switzerland, somewhere over there. It was the developer of the ISA Brown, ISA Brown. And so our egg layer is going to be ISA Browns. We'll have 20 of those, and we'll have 20 meat birds. Our meat birds will be the heritage ALBC picked breeds. And so we're going, you know, 50-50 both ways. So, with our flocks, people may want to choose to do that. They may want to have some meat birds. They may not want to have meat birds. They may want to have the ALBC layers that are cold hardy. Maybe they're living in Ohio or Wisconsin. You can get all that information at your website.
Yeah. So, yep. So I think that kind of wraps it up for pointers on planning for springtime and. Again, you can't plan too soon. The things are still
right.
Heritage is hot, and without planning ahead, you really the odds are you're going to get disappointed.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. And even now, I mean, there may be still some if you're looking to either expand your flock this spring or get started this spring. It may be too late depending on what breeds you've picked or chosen. but you may still get lucky and find a few breeders that have some that will be available for shipping out to you when they are ready. So definitely a visit. It's ALBC-USA.org, www.ALBC-USA.org, and you can go and access a lot of their great information. And while you're there, click on Become a Member for $35 for the entire year. You'll be amazed at the amount of stuff you get in the mail. The Breeders Directory, tons of great information. Just about every quarter I get something from you guys, and it's just a great group that does great works preserving.
Well, thank you so much.
Not just chickens, but pigs and horses and goats and just about any kind of livestock that's out there. So familiarize yourself while you're there with the ALBC and the great works that they do. Jeanette Berenger,
thank you so much
for coming on. Our first show for 2013. Couldn't think of a better one we could have had with the ALBC coming on, and we look forward to having you back on the first Tuesday of every month through 2013 and sharing all of your good works and educating us on heritage breeds.
Great. Thanks so much for having me again. Take care.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Happy New Year.
You too. Bye.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg candlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea. Technology you can trust. No matter how much we pamper our chickens, no matter how often we clean our coops, there is always that chance they will get mites and lice. If they do, you want to treat them as naturally as possible. Poultry Protector from Carefree Enzymes uses all-natural enzymes to eliminate the mites and lice from your coop, nesting boxes, and chickens with no egg withdrawal period. My chickens don't always have mites and lice, but when they do, I prefer Poultry Protector from CarefreeEnzymes.com. Happy flocking, my friends. Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry. From rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams, Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com. Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Thank you very much for staying with us today. I had a little technical problem. I was yapping along, but y'all couldn't hear me. So note to self, it helps to take the mute button off before you start talking. So anyway, hey, thanks for joining us today. Great episode with the ALBC. And hey, tomorrow we've got the Chicken Doctor, Peter Brown, first show of the new year. Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor, tomorrow is going to start his two-part series all about the feather. The science of the feather, the goal of the feather, all about the biological purpose of the feather, everything, the science of the feather, two-part series tomorrow, and then, of course, next week. So tune in tomorrow with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. He'll be joining us tomorrow. Gotta love it. That'll be tomorrow's show, Thursday. We got a great show lined up with the Back Home magazine, Richard Frudenberger. That's this Thursday, and then a fun Friday episode this Friday. So thank you very much for tuning in today. We appreciate you. Happy New Year, and we'll definitely see you here tomorrow with another great episode of Ask the Chicken Doctor with Peter Brown. Have a great day, everybody. Oh, yeah, if you didn't know, we're here at the doctor's office. My wife has one in the incubator. We're about to go inside and have her candle. Take a look at that. I guess the hatch date is March 22nd. We've all got the brooder set up, and Caleb's going to be a big brother. So that's why a little bit shorter show today. We've got to take this take this appointment. So we'll see you tomorrow right here, Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Have a great day, everybody.